This is the call of the Crave. The sound that tells you it's time to go to White Castle. And it can happen anytime. Like your son's first bike ride.
Dad, look, I'm doing it.
I got you, buddy. Keep going.
Dad? Dad? Dad!
Follow your Crave to White Castle and get 10 cheese sliders for just $7.99. With your choice of American, cheddar, or jalapeno cheese. White Castle. Follow your Crave. Limited time only at participating castles. Tax not included.
Luis Enrique must take a lot of the credit for that. And the result of it is that it was one of PSG's greatest nights in Europe.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The LOI Pod on Off The Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off The Ball all season.
You are very welcome to the LOI Pod on Off The Ball, this week's edition, coming to you with Stephen Doyle and Vinnie Pert and Gareth McLean. Thank you both for joining us this week, lads. I still haven't figured out what bung Vinny received from Nathan to come into studio last week, but at least he's out in the car. I think the internet might work out there, does it?
Yeah, it's all good out here. Apologies, Stabo. I was planning to come in and see you today, but...
What did he give you? Come on. What did Murphy give you? Tell me.
I'll say nothing.
Right. Hopefully there'll be no investigations going on into that kind of thing now. But lads, no League of Ireland games this week. I think I'm becoming like one of those English football fans who starts cursing the international break and just missing my League of Ireland fix. So I'm actually going to go, I think so far anyway, because I've got the... Everybody's away from the house this weekend. I'm on me Todd. So I'm thinking about heading down to Ferry Carrig Park to see Stephen Elliott's high-flying Wexford taking on, of course, Kerry, who are managed by Conor McCarthy. I don't know if either of you have kind of done much reading up on Conor. He seems to be doing a great job down there. The club itself is going brilliant, it has to be said. Seems to be all well run. But McCarthy, born in 1998, lads, the manager. Had you retired from playing at that stage, Vinny?
Yeah, good one. 1998, that was a great World Cup. That was when football changed. That was the great French team changed football for me. He's done really well. Not seeing loads of them, obviously, or almost nothing. Small bits and pieces, but all the reports are really strong. Reminds me, hopefully, and I think you've spoken about how inspired him. Like, I remember Stephen Kenny taking over Longford down the first division at 27 years of age. So hopefully he's on the same trajectory and it's a similar pathway. But very, very brave thing for him to do. It's easy to sit in the background, but he's made a brave choice. Get in and it'd be fascinating to watch. Really interesting to see how they get on, and it's brilliant to see clubs from all over the country now starting to show real interest in the league.
Yeah, and I think it's brilliant that Stephen Elliott made the move down to Wexford as well, because another man who didn't have a huge amount of managerial experience, he's been involved in coaching, I know, but for him to go down to Wexford, Gareth, they had a decent squad down there, as we saw from last year. They got up into the upper echelons and involved in the playoffs. A really good squad there. But it's one thing to have a good squad, but if you're going down really taking your first proper managerial job, that's another story altogether. And the fact that, and look, a long way to go in the season so far, but Stephen Elliott seems to be getting off to a good start there.
Yeah, and I love the fact that everyone's happy enough to go and start at the bottom as well, or in the first division. They're not sitting there going on their background or what they've achieved in their playing career going, I deserve a shot at a Premier Division manager's gig. So he's gone down there, and you're right, last year they were very good. I remember watching that match in the FA Cup against Drogheda, and possibly they were the better team on the day. They were just knocked out by two quick goals, Foley getting the goal. They were very good, but again, you've seen it time and time again, they lost a lot of their best players and they just have to rebuild again. But there's a base there for Stephen, and great opportunity for him to get started.
And when I'm coming back, I was going to go to that or the UCD treaty match, but UCD Treaty doesn't have the option of slipping into PJ's chipper there on the way back from Ferry Carrick Park. Oh, lads, I'm telling you, the chips down there, unbelievable. I don't know if you've ever come across it if you're down in Ferry Carrick. Anyway, speaking of young football men, lads, I do want to ask you about young players that have impressed in the league so far this season. We will do that in a little while. But look, let's start with one of the old-timers, eh? Chris Forrester. Age 32, and he's still doing it in the league. This is his 12th season in the Premier Division. I should say, I'm only joking, Chris. You're not an all-timer, of course. His 12th season in the Premier Division. Started out, of course, with Bohemians. 4 seasons with Pats then, before going off to the UK. And this is now his 7th season with the Saints since returning. He's got a total of 325 Premier Division appearances, 74 goals, 51 assists. He's got double figures in goals in 3 separate seasons, which isn't bad for a central midfielder. He scored for the Saints in Friday's 3-0 win against Bohemians. I've seen some social media discourse, lads, since that performance around Forrester. Some people hailing him as the best to ever do it in the league. Discuss.
Wow.
Well, let me start. I gave him on the match today, and I was doing the game, and do you know what? Like, there wasn't a lot in the game, to be fair. Pats were obviously far the better side, but there wasn't a lot of big moments. And fellas like Chris comes up with the big moments, Steve-O. That's what the best players do. And you've just reeled off a lot of stats there. But I think for me, what I like about him is I compare him to, say, in the modern era, Jack Bourne, Brian Bourke, these type of players. You go slightly back, Richie Towell, Patrick McElhenney, even a little before they're back, slightly different, but again, Paddy up in Derry, Garrett's mate,
McCourt.
And that sort of midfielder who can do a bit of everything. But where Chris is slightly different, I think Chris can play deals the number 6, 8 and 10. You know, he really can. And if you were picking if you had to sign one between, say, in the modern era of, say, Graham Bourke, Jack Bourne, Patrick McElhenney or Chris Forrester, and I'm probably missing one or two others, I would tell you it's a tough decision to go which one you go with. But Chris has certainly done it over a long period of time, it has to be said. And I don't like comparing eras, I think that's difficult. Like, the best midfield I ever seen, Stephen, whether that's playing or coaching, was made up of Paul Ozam, Martin Russell and Eddie Gormley. That midfield three for Pats back in the day is still the best midfield I've ever seen, but probably the best midfielder I've ever seen, because he can play in all them different eras, it's Kevin Hunt. Kevin Hunt was absolutely the best midfielder I've seen. So I'm only around League of Ireland 20-25 years, so but Chris is right there in that discussion. And again, slightly different, because he gets a lot more goals than some of the others. So he's in that category. And as I said, I don't like comparing eras, but I just mentioned a lot of names there. He's right up there as one of the very, very best.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve-O, he's amazing. I tell you what I like most about him. He's always available. He's always available, St. Pat's. He didn't do a brilliant preseason this year. He was got a couple of injuries and he came back, but he was thrown in there against Sligo after he played 63 minutes and scored a goal and was probably the difference in that match. Then he played the full Derry match, controlled the game when Pat's had the ball, sat in there with McClelland. The work he had to do against the 3 Derry midfielders was unbelievable. Never complained, got on with it, and the decisive moments, he was a difference. And he did the same against Bowes the other day. When you're comparing, it's hard to compare eras. I think he's, I don't want to say that, but up there with the most complete midfielders. He can almost do everything. And his availability and his robustness is something that, for me, that sets him apart. Kevin Hunt, who Vinny mentioned, he was always available as well. Very rarely was he injured in the time I played in the league. He was always there and always there thereabouts. So for me, it's very, very difficult. In the current market, in the current Premier Division, I think he's probably the best at doing all of those. So sitting midfielder, he can do it all, the 8 or the 10, and he's just a difference maker, and not many teams have that. They've got players that'll play in the fringes, but Chris will always be available on the pitch, and he'll always be available for selection as well. And if you look at that Pitts midfield as well, it's bolstered with a lot of good players. A couple of them are injured now and suspension, but he's always the mainstay as well. And he is the heartbeat of the club. For the last 7 years, I mean, he's been involved in everything. The cup finals, the real big games and the real big moments, he's been the one.
Can I ask you about... Sorry, Vinny, go on.
Sorry, Stephen, even just to think real quickly there, it's just that coming into my head, you think of Pats and how lucky they are, you think of Forrester, you think of Keith Fahey.
Keith Fahey, I remember covering Fahey, and you know, the standout games, remember the tie against Hertha Berlin in Europe? My God, Keith Fahey was absolutely sensational in both legs in that game.
Yeah, then there's another name I'll throw at you, Baba Livingston. Got injured and didn't really. It was around 2003. Centre midfielder for Pats. He was obviously he was that sort of energy one. We all know Joe and Dole, but he's more of a maverick type player. But and then I mentioned the best Pats midfield. So midfields are made of combinations like of different people, whether it's Shields, O'Donnell, and whatever McElhenney, or we had like O'Donnell, Finn at one stage, all sort of towels. There's all sort of different combinations, but
Vinny, what you're talking about combinations, that's the key word, right? For he was played in there with McClelland against Derry. Like, McClelland's more of a winger, more of a 10 or something like that. He took him in there and he marshalled the whole thing. I mean, he's a leader. He can play in a 6, he can play in a 3, he can play in a 2, or he can just do it all. And that's the beauty. He's got that skill set, and he can be out of a game and do the dirty work for 60 minutes, and then that one split second, one piece of skill, one strike from distance, and the game's over. You can just take it away from me.
Well, can I just say as well?
People say you're only as good as your last game, Steve. Sorry, yeah. I've just jumped in on you again. But think about the other day. He's up against the midfielder of Buckley, Adam McDonald, two workhorses, like real energy. The Clark Arrow, and not a bother to him. He still controlled the game in there. He wasn't overrun. The balls didn't play well and all that stuff. But that's their last game. He's not getting any younger, as we know, and he's still dominating the game from that position. So, top class.
Well, no, because I did want to ask you, Vinny, obviously, because you know how Stephen Kenny likes to, I suppose, build his squads and build his teams, and he comes into a St. Pat's squad that has Chris Forrester, who's just hit 30 years of age, gone past 30 years of age, and may not have the legs that he once had, but you're kind of going, well, this is technically one of the best footballers in the league that I've got here in my squad. Would he have kind of said, right, I'm going to try and build a team around this man in midfield? How does that work, or how does he get him inside alongside Jamie? Because I suppose he has really dropped deeper, hasn't he, under Stephen Kenny as a midfielder. So how do you think Stephen Kenny would have, what would his thought process would have been around that midfield?
I think Stephen likes, again, to use numbers 6, 8, and 10 if he can have it. Okay, so you look at someone like Brandon Kavanagh is a great example of how he's emerged under Stephen Kenny. You look at McClelland is sort of coming off the bench doing really well. I think he likes that combination of a Lennon. If Lennon's available, I think the best team at the moment is probably, believe it or not, and this is, he has a conundrum here between the two up front. But forget the two up front for a moment. His best team is probably Lennon, Forrester, and Kavanagh for me. Kavanagh gives them that little bit of quality. He's gone up levels under Stephen Kenny. I wasn't sure about Brandon Kavanagh at different stages. I seen him at Rovers when he was younger, nice and pretty. Went to Derry, didn't he? It was just okay. But he's at Pats, and this last sort of 6 months just looks like a different beast. So again, we spoke about combinations of midfields, whether it's Paul Caffrey and Kevin Hunt back in the day. Now it's like 1-1-1. And 6, 8, and 10, where your 8 has to do chip in with goals, open up doors as well, but also do the defensive side of it for Stephen Kenny. And he can do all of them things. And that's where a combination of what he's put together in as a squad is working. Because again, you have to remember the two wingers of Mulroney and Elvezetti are punching holes in the defence. They're pushing people back. They're pushing fullbacks back. And by its very nature, it's creating little pockets of space. for Cavanagh to go drifting into it. Like every throw in Pat's had, didn't I? Cavanagh, like it's a small point that people don't see. Cavanagh's the one that wants it, and you bounce it back. That's a real confidence when you're not feeling it. Garrett will tell you when you're playing, you know, when you're just not at it, well, you just hide behind the defender for a second. Cavanagh ain't doing that at the moment. He's just shown me the ball, and he's thrown up in different areas. So he was left out for different reasons. They tried the Melia and the Keane stuff. I'm not sure that's going to work, and there will be a place for it. But important to that midfield three, Jude for them under Kenny.
Can I ask you, Gareth, just one last thing on Forrester before we move on to other past things? Like, technically, you know, I'm listening to you guys tell me he's a great player and where he ranks, all that kind of stuff, but technically, what is it that he has that makes him such a good player? What does he do you think, that makes him so special? Like, I suppose the thing of, you know, the way I always say about the great players, at whatever level, they always seem to have more time in the ball than everybody else. Does he have that? What is it he has with his feet? Just generally, what is it that makes Forrester better than his peers?
It's very simply, it's his mind, Steve-O. He knows exactly what... He's playing a different game. See, when the pictures that he has in his mind are completely different to the other players' pictures. Now, and some people call it football IQ. Brandon Kavanagh has got a very, very high IQ when it comes to football, and Forrester's the same. He's amazing at seeing things and pictures, and his first touch as well. That's why it's interesting when you talk about the two in midfield. I believe some Pats are stronger with three in midfield when they control the game and they have Forrester on the ball more. They tried it against Derry. They won the game comfortably, didn't create a load of chances, played two up front. I think that was because of the pitch. And I think once they get good, the weather gets better, the pitches get better, Kavanagh in front of Forrester, I think it'll be very, very difficult to stop Pats. And that's why I backed them to win the league. But when you're talking about, he just sees things differently, Steve-O. I've played with players, and within 2 or 3 weeks of when they come into the club, you go, this player's different, and he gets it. And they actually latch on to players that are at the same level. So I can imagine when you're watching games, and Pats fans will be able to tell us, whenever you see Forrester finding Kavanagh and Kavanagh finding Forrester, it'll just be automatically. It almost feel natural. There's certain players that I've played with that have that, and you see it and you just gravitate towards them. And they also bring the other players up a level as well. And that's what Stephen Kenny's brilliant at. We mentioned Paddy McCourt before. Stephen Kenny came to Derry City. Paddy McCourt was doing well in his League of Ireland career, but it looked like that was it. Stephen Kenny worked with him for a certain period of time, and Paddy McCourt went to Celtic. And that's what he does. He just gets the best players even better.
It's the best example of it, Stephen, is the third goal against Wolves. It's just IQ, the weight of the pass from McClellan. Simple. Most normal Joes don't make that pass the overhit it, underhit it, or he might get it right every once in a while. I think he gets it right every time. The way the pass in behind someone, the winger doesn't break strides, all across the box. And good night. Thanks.
It's decision making as well. And if you watch that goal back just quickly, McClellan goes to the byline saying, pass it to me. And Forrester says, that's not the pass. And then he holds on to it. And then as Vinny says, he delivers it perfectly.
The highest achievers among us are the people still striving, still reaching for something. The people who aren't satisfied to stay where they are and want to keep climbing higher. And it's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon reimagined for a new generation of explorers through thoroughly modern design. Its interior is modern and functional, with rich material finishes and quality craftsmanship. When you're in a Defender, you can tell the interior is built for purpose. Luxury appointments throughout and practical storage options ensure you adventure in comfort. This is a vehicle capable of great things and engineered to meet challenges head-on. Wherever you're headed, experience the Defender's legendary capability, both off-road and on. And there's a family of vehicles for Defender. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. Are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
It's seafood season, and your favorite seafood sensation is back at White Castle. Say hello to Shrimp Nibblers. With delicious butterfly shrimp battered in a crispy coating, it's never been easier to follow your crave. So head to White Castle and dive into delicious Shrimp Nibblers today for a limited time, only at White Castle. Follow your crave while supplies last.
Well, look, it hasn't been the perfect start, as we know, for St. Pat's. However, I think that win is going to be do a huge amount for their confidence. Look, Bohemians were poor on the night, and we spent an awful lot of time talking about Bows this season, so we don't need to labour that one. But just from a Pat's perspective, looking at the table, Pat's now on 10 points, just a point behind Drogheda United for all the talk of not a great start by St. Pat's. There they are, just a point off the top. Like, what did we like in general about the Saints' performance?
I don't think they've been great this season at all. I mean, I was at the Derry game. They won 2-0, but it was two set pieces and two penalties. Granted, they were two penalties, and then Derry got a man sent off. But Pat's, and I could see Stephen on the line. He was pacing up and down. He was asking his assistants what should he do. Derry were controlling the game and looked fairly comfortable, and Pat's caught them in the counter attack. And I watched the game the other night as well, and that's why I think they're getting results when they're not playing well. When the pitches get better and they've got the technical players to play on these pitches and they do hit a run, whoever hits that six out of eight run will end up going to win the league. And I think Pats at the minute are the only team that can show they can do that.
An average 2 points a game, Stephen. I think that went to the league this year. Mm. You're into 72, thereabouts, 2 points a game. So they're on average, they're sort of on track to win the league, if that makes sense, with the start they've had, believe it or not.
Yeah,
I think 2 points a game wins you the league, or goes very, very close.
Yeah, and look, I think Gareth hits on an important point there as well. If any, you know, the pitch surfaces, like Richmond Park, as we all know, arguably at its best, the best surface in the league. So once that gets back to its best over the next couple of weeks, that could see.
I mean, not to go on the pitches. Too early on you, but there's three groundsmen down there. The pitch was exceptional, didn't it? Absolutely exceptional. This whole stadium, it's a Pat's love-in at the moment. This podcast, the whole stadium was exceptional. There's one small flaw, I think, in the away end where I just don't like what they've done with that barrier. It restricts a bit of the view on the goal. But like, the ground is spotless. Pitch was excellent. Three full-time groundsmen on, as I said. I was there at 5 o'clock. And was training, working on it, watering it. It's the best surface at the moment in the league. And I made the point the other night, you can have these old grounds and you can give out about them and you can complain and you can ask for government this and government funding that, and we don't get this. Just make the best of what you bloody have. We've been doing that at the moment. The place looks spotless down there, must be said.
Yeah. Well, look, just to finish on Pat's sake, Gareth, Waterford away, Shelburne home, Cork City away, Shamrock Rovers at home, the next four fixtures. I think it's a good chance they kick on in those four games.
Yeah, but we also said that at the beginning of the year where they're starting, they didn't. But I think they will, Steve-O. I think they've got to take massive confidence from these results more so than the performances. You heard Stephen after the match the other night. He said there's massive improvements there. And he'll be telling the players that. I mean, if he's telling the media that, you be damn sure that he's telling the players that and demanding more as well. Yes, they look easy on paper, but as we've seen this year, it's tough. And that's what I'm saying to you. If they were to go and win 4 out of 5 of those games, you would see them probably pull clear. And that's what Shells did last year at the very beginning. Nobody could catch them. So it's up to people now to jostle and get the position, almost like a horse race, to be ready for when they hit that purple patch, that they take advantage of it, because it could end up winning your league.
Well, looking at the league table now, the last unbeaten team left after Shamrock Rovers got the win away to Drogheda United are Galway United. I'm not sure if anybody expected Galway to be the last unbeaten side after 6 matches. They beat Waterford 1-0 at the weekend. The other win against St. Pat's, they've got 4 draws against Cork City away, Drogheda United away, Shelburne at home, and Derry City away. They probably should have won at Derry City, I'm afraid to say, Gareth. That penalty, I was really dubious. I don't know, have the fixtures been kind to Galway United, or is this a team in really good form and making the best of what they have there? Binny?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. I think I made the point a couple of weeks ago about having League of Ireland players in your thing, like Killian Bruders is the one I picked out, but there's others like Stephen Walton, Hickey, Jimmy Cohen, fellas in the league.
Andy Clark.
Yeah, Clarkie in goal has been really good. So they just know how to get the job done. Obviously, the management is exceptional as well. Both of them know the league. You think people, you know, rush out to who's the next best thing since sliced bread in coaching circles. And the two so-called old-timers are the ones that are unbeaten, like, and doing the business week in, week out.
Okay, Vinny, can I stop you there? Because I suppose that's one of the things we always hear about, and especially around John Caulfield and Ollie Horgan, that they know the league. So I want to, but like, can you even just dig a bit deeper into that one and tell me why is that advantageous? Like, can you see evidence of, say, for instance, their knowledge of the opposition? Okay. Can you see when Galway United take on other teams that they are employing tactics that will get at the weak points in the opposition teams?
Yeah, of course you can. You look at the goals against, say, Cork early on the season, first game of the season, long ball goes out wide and it's just a brilliant ball into the box. Hickey arrives late and scores. There's an element of Finn Harps about that when you played against them, people running from deep, being hard to beat. There's an element of that Cork team that went on to win a league title. Both the men just... it's not disrespectful, it's actually the biggest compliment I can give both. Both of them know how to get the job done. Both of them, my understanding is, both of them are obsessed by football, so they know the opposition inside out. They probably worked with a lot of lads in the league, and they've been getting the very best out of the group they have. And I used the example of Killian Bruder scoring there a couple of weeks ago. Not many Premier Division players would have been rushing out to sign him, but they brought him in. You know, he knows the league. You know, he knows how it ticks. You also have things, a bit of quality like Greg Cunningham coming in. And when you listen to Greg, I don't know Greg, but when you listen to him speak or be interviewed, you get the real impression that he's got a bit of leadership about him. He's not back for the crack. He's back to compete week in, week out. So, I'd say the biggest compliment I give both of them is I reckon they've a great judge of character. I don't think they've many bad eggs in that dressing room. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They do their homework, very diligent in who they sign. Don't sign players for the sake of it. And tend to get it right. Like I think Jimmy Cohen has done very well for them as well over the last period of time. Walsh making him into that sort of striker a year ago. All of them things, they're not flukes. They're, you know, well thought out, good League of Ireland decisions, and people know their jobs, and that's what the two of them are. And I think most people are rooting for them as well. You'd love to see them doing well this year and maybe pick up a trophy or at least European football, because it's a real hotbed down there going. But time someone got it right.
Yeah, Gareth, the one thing I've noticed, and again, I haven't watched a full Galway United game, I was kind of looking through some of the matches, flicking through. The one thing that stood out to me is, like, it's one thing winning headers or getting flick-ons from those passes, and they're, you know, it's all very measured passing into some of the bigger lads up front. But I'm looking at, say, in particular, Bobby Burns and Moses Dyer. The ability that those two players have to actually run on and latch on to those second balls and to create chances then in the box, that's something as well that you really need. It's one thing having those long balls in the area, but you need to be able to do something with the second balls then, and those two players seem to be able to do that.
Yeah, 100%. Moses Dyer, when he was in the Brandywell for the last match, was very impressive. It was just basically another version of Stephen Walsh, but he looked sharp. The way they moved Stephen Walsh into a striker position, this looks like he's had a lot of clubs. He's had 12 clubs in the last 10 years. I don't know where they picked him up from. He's from New Zealand, but he's come in and he looks like a real player. But again, Vinny touched on it. They don't recruit players who look pretty. They recruit players who do the basics incredibly well, and this boy Moses Dyer does that. He's very combative. When he gets a ball, he occupied three centre halves in the Brandywell other night. He was exceptional getting in amongst them, and when he got his chance, he put it away from the long throw in. So it's about personality, it's about characters, but also it's about doing the basics well. You look at Hurley that came on the Brandywell as well, has been with the club since, brilliant in the first division, stepped up and didn't take a wrinkle out of him. So I think what they do well is the basics, and that's not like a slant on them. You look at last year, Drogheda did the basics incredibly well. They won the cup. They're doing the basics again incredibly well. They're sitting near the top of the league. Shelburne won the league last year by doing the basics better than everyone else. I think we've come away from doing the basics better than everyone else, and it's kind of frowned upon now doing the dirty side of it. But then these guys can actually play as well. They're some, like Paddy Hickey, for a big fella, I know he gets headers and he gets on the end of stuff and all that. Technically, he's very good. Very rarely did he lose the ball in the Brandywell other night in a tough surface, in a tough game. He was very effective. So they've been brilliant. The other thing I want to touch on is the turnover. I mentioned it last year on the podcast. They do not bring in people just for the sake of it. They've only hired brought on three players, Kerrigan, Dyer, and Steins, who we've yet to see the best of. That's the only full-time people they've brought into the club. So they don't bring in players just to fill places. And that's because they're afraid to get it wrong. And that's infectious. If you bring a bad egg in the dressing room, that's infectious. But if you keep bringing good characters and good personalities in the dressing room, that just raises standards and people get excited.
Yeah, and I do.
Yeah, Regan Donlan. Yeah. Sorry, Stephen. Regan Donlan and Gary Buckley on your bench, like fellas who know the league inside out. Just two small examples. Yeah. What more do you want? Like, you know what I mean? Really good seasoned professionals. Yeah. Excellent recruitment.
I think what you said about Greg Cunningham, Vinny, was a really salient point. I do remember going back to when I was on the Ireland beat and many years ago when Cunningham broke into the Ireland squad when he was at Preston, and I remember interviewing him around the time, and he's one of those really, really, really engaging people. And I met him again for the launch of this season's Premier Division league, and again I interviewed him, and he's just one of those guys. I hadn't seen him in years, and he remembered me and asked me how was life, and I was chatting to him about his life, and we were talking about kids and stuff and all that kind of thing, and just a really engaging guy. And I'm thinking, God, I'd go to war with this fella, like, you know, because as you say, like, he's just, and he again, like, he's not just here just to kind of finish out the career. You can see the way he's playing as well. He's given 110%. He's playing for his home county, and a huge, huge addition to that squad, Vinny.
Oh, yeah. And in terms of, he's obviously played at a really, really high level in terms of championship and et cetera, most recently. But it's he has a calmness on the ball that I like. He steps in front of the back three at different stages and steps in there and gets them playing as well. And I just think it needs to be careful that you don't point up, oh, he knocked the ball long. They're not like nimblest in anything, shape or form. When it's on to pass, and they will do that, but they'll also be direct at the right times. And he seems to be a good driver of the bus on the pitch as well. He obviously has a good understanding of what John and Ollie want. And I've seen a lot of fellas come back from England, and it's not like we've seen some great players come back from England and really struggle for many reasons. Some of it is the mentality of it and the difficulty of going to training at a completely different level. They're used to 5 and 6 star hotels basically as training grounds. But he seems to have done the opposite, where he's just embraced it, and on the pitch, yeah, really good, very clever footballer. As I said, steps in front of the back four at the right moments, and keeps the ball ticking over, quite simple, but with quality as well. So that's a great signing. And again, going back to the staff, he obviously felt he had the right mentality to come into the dressing room.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and as well, I should add, Gareth, I don't think it is a slight on any team to be saying that they do the basics right, because there's a few teams in the league not getting results who could learn about doing the basics right. Anyway, Galway United, brilliant performance by them again at the weekend against Waterford. They're up to 10 points, joint on 10 points with St Patrick's Athletic. They're one clear of Shells and one off the top, Drogheda United. Next up for Galway, they're playing away to Bohemians, and then they're home to Shamrock Rovers, away to Sligo Rovers for a derby match there, and then home to Derry City. So really intriguing fixtures there for Galway United.
They'll win the four of them anyway. That's
good man, Vinny. I think a bit of trolling is what you might call that. Shelburne lads, just quickly before we go on to the young players, we won't dwell on it too long, but look, three draws and a defeat in the last four games. I think Damien Duff might be glad of the international break just to get his troops together and maybe work on a few things on the pitch. What's going on there? Is there any reason to be concerned for Shell supporters?
Um, Not really. Although I have to say, I was taken back by Duff's interview after the match. He did look a little bit tireder than usual. So I think the break's going to come at a good time. But I think we underestimate, and Vinny can talk to this a lot better, we underestimate the pressures and the job that these managers have to do. But I wouldn't be too worried about Shells. I mean, they were. I watched them against Derry. I watched them a few times. The margins of the games have been slight. Yes, they haven't played in patches of the games, but I wouldn't worry too much. I think they just have to get back to doing what they did last year, and that's the basics really well. They've got the talent there. They've got Chapman under the team now. I said that was a big problem for them. I think that's still going to be a big problem for them, getting him in there, because it's obvious that Damien really likes him, and then the two players up front are performing really well. So that dynamic, if he can get that right and keep the back four fit, especially the two centre halves, they'll have no problem.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Stabo. Obviously, he left out Meepo and he left out Mark Coyle. Did a really strong bench the other night. When you think, like, young Ryan O'Kane, who was, you know, has a bit of a future, you think Evan Caffrey's done really well from a different stage. John Sullivan done okay last year. Meepo, obviously, on the bench. John Martin, Mark Coyle, as I said. So the bench and the squad is very strong. Probably feels like the certain a little bit. I wasn't a lover of the 4-4-2 to start the season with, but they started the season so well, what would I know? But it just feels now that he's gone back a little bit, and they've probably had to come back to a little bit what they were last year over the next few weeks, just to get back on the bike and pick up a couple of wins. But I think, as Garrett said, I think they'll be fine. Squad wise, they're definitely in the top three. It's up to any of the top three to decide whose turn it is to win the league this year, and go on a good enough run. But I wouldn't be overly worried yet, but Duffer's got to find his best team for the next couple of weeks soon.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned before, Steve-O, about the Galway management team finding weaknesses in teams as well. I think you saw that Drogheda had found a little bit of a weakness, not a weakness, but an area that they could exploit down the right-hand side of their pitch on the left-hand side. Chapman was playing left of a four, and he just didn't give Norris any help. And you could see Drogheda just clipping the ball in front of Norris. Norris didn't know whether to come or go, and they got loads of space and loads of success down there. So that's the beauty of this league now. If you do get a switch or a tactical mistake in your game, the other teams are onto it in a flash and they're exploiting it. So I think that was just a nice wee example of a Drogheda seeing a bit of weakness and exploiting it a wee bit, and Shell's just trying to get that right balance.
Okay, lads, well, just to finish, I did mention, touching on younger players in the league so far, I was commentating, of course, for Off the Ball last Friday on the Drogheda United Shamrock Rovers game, 2-1 win for the Hoops there in that one. And I did think it would be good to mention a couple of younger players that might have stood out so far this season. I'll start with Rovers defender Corey O'Sullivan, 18 years of age, playing on the left of the Rovers back three, basically on Friday night. It was like having an extra winger at times behind Josh Onan, because some of the runs that he was making were absolutely sensational. He's got incredible pace, really has incredible pace, and is well able to defend as well. Now, obviously, he's got the experience of Roberto Lopez to his right-hand side, which is a huge help when you've got a young player coming into the team like that. And look, I don't know where his position will be when Lee Grace is fit again, and whether he might even keep Lee Grace out of the team. But for now, I think he's been doing really, really well. And I suppose for Stephen Bradley as well, to have that ability to maybe create overload with Honahan and O'Sullivan on that side of the pitch, it's a huge boost for that Rovers team. But is he a player that maybe has stood out for you guys? Anybody else you might have seen so far? Maybe people who haven't seen everybody playing just yet, other young players you might keep an eye out for?
Aaron Green, another young player, done really well.
did you see his celebration?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's great. And I hear, do you know what's good about it is that I think for us to go to Aaron Green quickly, like, people, fellas like that can get offended by lots of us saying the Rover squad is aging. Like, and it is aging. Aaron's not getting any younger. None of us are. But they have to have pace in and around them, you know, or they dominate games. But the way he took his call on that, no one had ever questioned Aaron's ability at all. Like, I done the Pats match 2 weeks ago, and I thought he was probably Rover's best player, to be honest with you, in the game. Like, Hilton was very good. Mahidi was really, really good. Benny Grant scored the big goal, but Aaron Green was right up there. But and I love his celebration. It means it's probably hurting a little bit what people are saying. It's fine, that's good, because he still cares. Mm. But back to Corey Sullivan real quick. He's excellent. I've seen him live now four times this season. I thought he'd done really well in the European games. If he start and then bounce back into it. And a big occasion that night, I thought he was very, very good. So I think the good thing is so many good young players coming through at the moment, isn't there? Like, they're everywhere. Down at Cork, you look at guys down at Cork, but go back to even your team, Steve O'Balls. Like, I thought Colin Whelan done really well tonight in a team that was struggling. They had lots of the ball, but they were dominated at different stages. But I could see a real player in him. When you look at fellas like that, you go, yeah, he's a real chance. Sean Behan, a centre-half, he's had mixed reviews since the game for balls, but I can see why he's at Palace. If you remember that pass where he stepped out on the right-hand side and he a long straight pass in behind Pat and Colin Whelan got in for the chance. It was a brilliant ball by him. And he's tenacious, he can win his headers, all of that stuff. So the two of them for balls are bright sparks as well, must be said.
Yeah, Gareth, any other young players standing out for you at the moment?
Yeah, just as well on Aaron Green. I think the young players in the league, right, you've got to be looking up at players like Almond, Forrester, who we mentioned, Green and Cunningham. They're always available. They're never injured. And it's not a coincidence. These players are looking after themselves week in, week out. Almond's display last year was a disgrace. He was available Friday, Monday. The amount of minutes he played last year was incredible, and the goals he scored. But the young players, just because it was up in Sligo there recently, I was very impressed with Hakiki. We mentioned Paddy McCord earlier on. He almost runs with the ball like Paddy does. He takes short steps, and he's really quick with the ball. He glides on the surface of the pitch. He was Derry's biggest threat. When he got the ball in the 10 position or in the 8 position and he drove at the Derry defence, there was all sorts happening. He was very, very good. Noonan, obviously, on loan at Waterford, I think, is one we have to mention. Healy as well is only 22. Couldn't believe that after the recent Rovers match I watched. I looked up his age. I couldn't believe he plays. And we talked about Forrester making decisions and his IQ. I watched the game. I think he made one or two bad decisions in the whole game. And I mean decisions whether to go and head it, to go and press, to sit, what pass they make. He was excellent. So he's a real good signing for Shamrock Rovers. And then the other players, young Gareth McElroy at Sligo, again coming through the academy, played centre-half twice against Rovers, man of the match performance. So there's loads of Owen Elding didn't play the other night for Sligo. He's another good player, 19 years of age, has already got 3 goals. Granted, Sligo weren't going well, but they're creating chances and scoring goals. So those are just a few. And then Warren Davis, just to finish for Drogheda. I mean, what a player he looks like. I mean, you're talking about pace and this is another thing. I mentioned it last week about the lack of pace and the lack of excitement going forward and players creating chances for themselves by going past one or two players. Elding can do it, Hakiki can do it, and Davis did it against Shelburne at Tolko Park. So, I mean, the future's bright, and there's no doubt about it. Drogheda and Sligo particularly are playing the most players under 21. So it's brilliant to see.
Do you know what I liked about Davis's performance tonight? Albeit, look, they were beaten in the end, but he's always looking for the ball. He can pop up on the left wing, right wing, in the centre forward position. Sometimes he's everywhere, but he's just running himself into the ground, and he's just available all the time. He's trying to find space where he can receive the ball and turn and attack the defenders. It's really impressive.
And I know we're talking all the time. We have talked about the 4 FEA getting government for funds for the academies. But if you look what the academies are producing now, it's pretty special. There's another 14 or 15 match coming up now, Republic against Northern Ireland. I think there's 11 Shamrock Rovers players and 8 Pats, and there's a few other players as well. The academies are doing unbelievable work. Can you imagine what they could do if they get these extra resources?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, lads, a little bit more of a truncated podcast this week with no action this weekend, but I think it might be Nathan with you next week. We'll see if he gets back from Bulgaria on time. I'm thinking about maybe, I'm looking at organising a few pints maybe on Sunday with Hamer Hallgrimson. I'm going to give Duffer and Bradzer a ring as well to see if they might come along. Do you fancy it if you're around?
Always up for a few pints.
Well, we won't be meeting you up in Derry though, Gareth. You'll have to come down to the big smoke.
Always. You wouldn't know how to get there, Stephen. Funny, definitely wouldn't know.
Lads, pleasure as always. We'll talk to you next week and thank you for listening.
Good luck.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.